the reading. Wait, we're in prayer reading, yeah. So the reading is going to be our passage. We're going to start with the last verse we left off in chapter 3 because it's good for the context. So technically, 1 John 3:24, so you'll open, and then we'll read chapter 4 through verse 11. Our study is through verse 11 today. So are you all ready? So ready? Begin.
Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this you know that he abides in us, by the Spirit who leads us.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God.
And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world.
You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than
they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them.
We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God is not hearing. Verse 12. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God.
He who does not love is not of God, for God is love.
In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him.
In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's pray. Lord, and thank you for your word and the promises in it. And of course, we thank you, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, we thank you for that great love with which you've loved us. And we thank you, of course, for Jesus. And thank you that no greater love has no one than this, that they would lay down their life for a friend. And Lord, thank you. You laid down your life when I was your enemy. You laid down your life for me. So thank you and praise you. We just pray by the power of your Spirit, you would teach us and feed us today and lead us just closer to you, more a greater understanding of each of us of your love for me, for each of us, that we could grow in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, yeah, so does anyone need a sheet? I know I didn't print out enough. Sorry about that. Okay. Well, we're just continuing on in 1 John, of course. And the title of the message is The Spirit of Truth, The Spirit of Love, talking about the Holy Spirit, of course. Said it before, I'll say it again as much as I need to, for myself and others, and that is that you can have truth without love, but you cannot have love without truth. You can have truth that's harsh, it's true, but just comes across harshly, but you can't have really true love unless it's based on truth, right? And so in this section that we're on, we're going to look at, we'll have a focus on the truth, and then we'll be focusing on the love. And one of the two main things to take away from today is we can know that whether we're in the truth or not by two things, if you will. God's not a thing, but number one is the Holy Spirit, and number two is the Word of God. And every believer has the Holy Spirit. Not every believer in the world has access to the whole Word of God like we do, but we do. We have access to the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So let's work through this passage that we just read together. I'm going to read the first, counting the end of chapter 3 and then the first three verses of chapter 4, and then we'll make some comments. So again, John writes, now he who keeps his commandments, that's Jesus' commandments, or the Father's commandments, to believe in his Son and to love other people. He who keeps those commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. And he has given us the Holy Spirit. If you put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So number one on your sheet, number one, we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, so we can identify, the word there is identify, so we can identify the spirit of error. And I put three references there, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. You can read those, I won't reiterate those, but they all, in all three of those verses, in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He says one place to his disciples, he is with you, he will be in you. And he came in them in John 20 when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And he came into you the first day you believe. Whether you were baptized in the Spirit or not, that's a different action that we believe that happens. Or there's some other action that seems to follow salvation. But when you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Ephesians 1:13 again, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So you have the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. And so that's important to know. Jesus also says about the Spirit of truth, he will guide us into all truth. Jesus says he will testify of me, of Jesus. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, and he will tell us of things to come. But he is the Spirit of truth. So because we have the Spirit of truth, we can identify the spirit of error. You've heard this before. I've even said it. You know how bankers train to recognize counterfeit money. Yeah, they go to a class for 40 hours and they show them all this counterfeit. No, they don't. Right? They just work with the real thing, the real bills and the real coins, and they see it so much and handle it so much that they know right away, by the way something feels or looks, that it's counterfeit. So we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, it's wonderful because you can be a day old in the Lord and he'll keep you from error. You know, not from, we all fumble. I mean, he'll keep you from the false teachers. Remember the story I told about my mom? The missionaries were coming to our house. I was in my early 20s and still lived there, but I was just running around doing my thing. I hardly noticed they were there. Surprised me because I was already debating with Mormons on my college campus, but I didn't realize my mom got really close to signing up, signing on the dotted line, and she wasn't saved yet. She wasn't saved yet, but she got saved soon after that, and she told me years later, she said, I listened to them and it sounded good, but there was just something that didn't feel right. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. That's what we have. So again, you can be a day old in the Lord. You can be a 50-year scholar in the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us into truth, that keeps us in the truth, and that knows, you know, the phony baloney. You know, he's, like I say reverently, he is our baloney meter, that he and the word of God, right? So number two, related to our text here, some false teachers in John's day said that Jesus was a phantom and did not have a body. The word there is body. And I put parentheses under that. They taught that all material things, including flesh, was evil. This contradicts the truth of the incarnation. The incarnation is God becoming a man. Why is that important? And this really helped me when I understood. So this was a heresy, part of a heresy that would in the next century would be further developed and called Gnosticism. Remember, we talked about this weeks ago, spelled with a G, Gnosticism. You know, it comes from that word gnosis, you know, gnosis or gnosis. And it's this secret group, this special group that has this higher knowledge, and you have to come and learn from them to get this greater experience. Totally flies in the face of what Jesus says when he says, you have to become like a child into the kingdom of heaven. The gospel is plain and simple and powerful. And so they had different weird beliefs, but one of them was that Jesus, what I just read on the sheet there, that all material was evil, including the body, so Jesus couldn't have had a body, so he's a phantom. The problem with that is then there's no salvation for us because he died as a man. He took our penalty, right, as a man. The verses I have listed under there, Romans 8:3, Hebrews 10:5 on number 2 of your sheet, and 1 Timothy 3:16, those are just some of many, many verses that would in the Bible that would make it very obvious that that Jesus had a body. You know, not to mention the Christmas story in the scriptures, right? You know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Mary, don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will conceive in your womb and have a baby. You know, so Jesus was a obviously flesh and blood person. 1 Timothy 3:16, the first part of that says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That's the word of God. God was manifested in the flesh. Hebrews 10:5, speaking of Jesus, he says, the writer of Hebrews writes, therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, Jesus said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And a great verse that shows the importance of that is Romans 8:3. Paul writes, for what the law, that's the law of Moses, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, our weakness, what that couldn't do, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in Jesus' flesh. Jesus was found guilty of our sins and paid the price. And so just as it's important to not minimize and say that Jesus isn't God, like a lot of the cults do, it's just as important to not say that he wasn't a man. It's just heresy. So number 3 on our sheet, speaking of the Antichrist that is to come and the spirit of him that's to come, the beast, he's known as the beast in Revelation, which John also wrote or dictated, right, from the Lord. The beast may not be here, but his spirit, the devil, is already here, right? The spirit of the Antichrist, any spirit of Antichrist is the devil or the demons. And I just put under there in parentheses, obviously, the devil's been around deceiving since the Garden of Eden, challenging the word of God. Hath God really said, you know, challenging the word of God, challenging the truth. So now we'll read verses 4-6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, these false spirits, these false prophets, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So where it says there in verse 4, little children, that's to all of us. That there's a couple different Greek words for little children in this book, and this one speaks of born ones. So it's all of us that have been born again, children of God. And it says that you have, in verse 4, you have overcome them, these false spirits, false prophets, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who's in us again? The Holy Spirit lives in us. That's why we believe you can't be possessed as a Christian. You can't be possessed by a demon. The Holy Spirit lives in you. God lives inside of you. A Christian could be oppressed, no doubt about it. A Christian could get more involved with the devil than he needs to by messing around with the occult or drugs or things like that. But according to this verse, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we have the Holy Spirit again. But also when it talks about, when John talks about you have overcome them, let's see. I'm sorry, and I should, we'll just go with number four. We have our Bibles. We're going to work our way to the Bible here. We have our Bibles, and I'm quoting an earlier verse from 1 John. The word of God, number four, abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The word of God abides in you. That's the last part of 1 John 2:14. Remember that part of 1 John where he's commending little children and fathers and young men, and he goes over that a couple times, little children, fathers, young men. In verse 14 of chapter 2, he says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So how did the young men, how were they strong? By the word of God. That's how we grow, by the word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, crave the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's the only way to grow spiritually. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by, see, this is our food. And the church has basically pitched it, you know? And so it's just so wonderful to have both, because we do have both. We have the word of God, we have the Holy Spirit. God wants an experiential relationship with us, no doubt about it. God wants to use his gifts through people, the gifts of the Spirit. God, of course, wants us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Number five on our sheet here. Let me slow down. I'm ready. We will know which spirit is speaking by what comes out of a person's mouth. The word there is mouth. And we'll give some examples here from the scripture. But let me just get back to our text here. Verse five, they are of the world. Those are the ones that don't follow the truth, obviously. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. If you have time, not right now, unless you want to, if you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. But go back and read 2 Peter 2. It just talks about how worldly and lustful, and it talks about the false prophets and the false teachers and how they ensnare unstable souls and how they are themselves. Anyway, they're of the world. They're just of the world. You'll know them by their, you'll know them by their fruit. And they therefore, they speak as of the world. I'm going to, again, give a couple examples. But also, verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. You know, John's an apostle. Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. For us, that's the word of God. So they're not, they have itching ears. Acts 2:42, the new believers there continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Here it says, we are of God, he who knows God hears us, he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Someone who, you know, they will, we may not get to it, but another thing, if you want to jot down 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4, those are passages that talk about heresies and false teaching, and a time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. That's what I was trying to spit out. They will not, the church will not endure sound doctrine. Hello, we're there, right? You know, but a lot of the church doesn't want, they're not in the Bible, and they're letting in stuff of the world in the name of love to try to love people into the kingdom, and there's compromise. And I don't want to be a hater. But we're going to be hated for sure. We're going to be labeled haters, you know, but we can be as loving as we can. And I want to be, but I don't want to not love God in the process. So that was number six. And some examples of you'll know which spirit is speaking by what comes out of a person's mouth. Now, I know in context, in our text, I'm doing my best by God's word to help guard us all from false teachers. But you know, the devil can speak through any of us. You know, we have our flesh. And I wish, you know, we have the Holy Spirit, we have our Bibles, and we also have our flesh to deal with. So I'll give you a couple of examples. And we'll start with our author right here, the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love. You know the story. It's from Luke. I think it's mentioned in a couple of Gospels, but Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56. Should I paraphrase it or do you want to read it? Want me to read it? Take a vote. I'll close my eyes. What'd you say? Okay. And then we have another one. So Luke chapter 9. Yeah, it's just a few verses. 51 to 56. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him, and of course that's Jesus, to be received up, to be crucified, buried, ascended, resurrected, you know, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him. And I'll just pause and say, Samaritans hated Jews and vice versa. So they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? That sounds like a good plan. But he turned and rebuked them and said, listen to this. You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And I kind of chuckle because I can just imagine Jesus. No, we don't want to blow them away. We're here. I'm here to save people. How about we just go to another village instead? You know, that'd be a better option. So even John, you know, any of us again can say something that's just not of the right spirit. In context of us, we're saved. We have the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you become a false prophet or you're going to hell or anything like that. But you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. The other example, you'll know this one well as well. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. After Peter's shining moment of confessing that to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being commended for that. Matthew 16, 21 reads, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Pretty powerful, huh? That would have blown me away. Get behind me, Satan. Did you say Simon? Those are two examples. Lots of examples of people speaking in the scripture from the wrong spirit. Even the demons, when he'd go in the synagogue before he casts them out, or as he's casting them out, they'd say, you're the Son of God. And he commanded them to be silent. Why is that? Because they wanted him to get glory. They were trying to get him to get glory so he would bypass the cross. And again, that's another, oftentimes an earmark of false teaching. There's just not enough emphasis on the cross. Maybe in the teaching there is, but not in the living. It's not about this life, it's about the next life for all of us. So moving forward from there, let's read verses 7 through 11 of 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7, and I was going to sing it at this point, but you guys have done well, so practice at home if you'd like. But John writes, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And really, we only have these three last fill in the blanks. And I know I'm kind of ahead of time. And I realized that there was one other thing I wanted to say about truth and warning. As Paul says, I'm warning every man or every person and teaching every person. And so I want to give a modern day example of a false teaching from this chapter, going back to where it says in verse 3, having the false spirit in the world, and the people that are false teachers, they hear the things of the world. Well, if you peek over in my Bible, it's just right across the page. You might have to flip a page, but verse 17 of chapter 4, and we'll get to that next week, Lord willing, says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You see that phrase? It says, as he is, so are we in this world. And I've had more than a couple, at least two, I know of two people, if not more, quote that phrase to me in the name of God wants us healthy. The false teaching that a Christian shouldn't be sick. And by the way, those teachers, usually they're in it for the money. Just look for that. Jesus said they are sheep's in wolves' clothing, and they want to devour the flock. And you look up that word. In fact, I don't want to misquote. I want to find the word, and you can look it up yourself. I've done it in my Greek and my Power Bible. That's what my little program is called. Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. It wasn't devour. I'm glad I looked. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. Ravenous wolves. That word, look up that word ravenous in your Greek lexicon. That's the word for extortion. And the other four or five times or so that word is used in the New Testament, it's used as extortion, or it's extortion. So you get the point. So I've had people say, because they're taught this from some of these TV guys or I don't know who, as he is, so are we in this world. God wants you healthy, because as Jesus was, that's how he wants you. And if you just read the context, I remember sharing this with Lori not that long ago. And said, what does this mean to you? And she just read it, because it's talking about his love as he is. And this chapter, the whole book's talking about agape love, sacrificial love. Jesus gave sacrificially for me and you, and he's done all these things for us, saved us. And again, all it takes to be saved is to trust in him, right? Last week was that topical message on verse 23, and this is his commandment, singular, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. But the one thing is to believe in him, and you're saved, and as you abide in him, that's his sacrificial love flows in us and through us. So with this verse, and I know I'm getting ahead of the game, but it applies to today's message. As he is, so are we in this world, is saying as he loves sacrificially, so we do down here, just as he did. And so getting back to love, and again, truth and love, they go together. Proverbs says that blows of a friend, faithful are the blows of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Isn't that powerful? The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So, back to love. Number 6 on our sheet. The gospel is simple. And you know the song. There is a name I love. Oh, we already sang it. I guess I already started to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Don't look for me on the Winter Jam lineup next year or anything. But that song, that hymn, the first time I've shared this before, Kevin Wilson trivia time. Does anybody remember the first time I heard this song? I don't expect you to. The first time I ever heard this song was in 1983. I was in basic training for the United States Army, and I had a chance to go to chapel, and I heard this song. And wow, it really set my heart free to know that I don't have to generate love for Jesus. He loves, you know, I love him because he first loved me. And just like that, you know, that there's a line of that in the, my Jesus, I love thee. I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. You know, I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. So, yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, these verses are hard to, for me, they're hard to, yes.
Interesting, you know, as God is, so that we should be well, we should be healthy.
Yeah.
Is his cross a picture of wealth, I mean, of health?
No.
He died on the cross.
Right, right, that's right.
I can debunk that.
Right.
That theory.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And actually, too, I was going to share, and I forgot, and just you bringing that up remind me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, the outward man is perishing. Though the outward man is perishing, did you notice? The inward man's being renewed day by day. Now, again, we believe in miracles. We believe in healings. We're praying for that, for each of you, for all of us, you know. But God doesn't schedule those. And doesn't anyone want to go to heaven? and so hopefully, Maranatha, right? Harpazo. The people say, well, the rapture's not in the Bible. Just tell them Maranatha or just say Harpazo. And that's the Greek word for to be caught up. So anyway, I digress. But I was going to say these last few verses are hard for me to do exposition on because they just speak for themselves. There's more testimony, I guess, you know. And number 10, too, I mean, this really helps my heart. Remember last week I said, if my Bible fell on the table, I hope it falls open to John 21 and John 6, you know. John 21, Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I like you. You know, but in the Greek, it's, I know I fall short in my perfect love for you, but I like you. I'm fond of you. John 6, they asked Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? And Jesus says, this is the work of God, singular, that you believe on the one whom he sent. And I think that, I don't know if it's a play on word in Greek, but it's a play on words in English, because it is the work of God that I believe. It's his, he works, like you were saying, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to believe. But also, here's another one. The 1 John 4:11, 4:1:1, for your information. 4:10. Yeah, my little corny joke doesn't fit. 4:10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I love that because I often see a lack of love in my heart. And again, we often equate love with good, warm feelings, the phileo. But really, agape love is nothing in it for me, but it's action. It's taking action, right? It's seeing your brother in need and giving and whatever. In Jesus' case, it's dying on the cross. He didn't want to do that. We, our family, just watched The Passion of the Christ a couple nights ago. And a very grim reminder of... And you think of all how horrible that was for him physically, and nothing compared to, we have no idea. It'll take eternity, I'm sure, to find out what it was like for him, the Father, to be separated, for him to take on all the sins of all history. And again, think about that. Yes, the Son of God did that, but he was the Son of Man. He was 33 years old. Someone in here... I used to use Bob and Wayne as my examples, but they're old men now. Maybe it's Jonathan. I think it's John. He's getting there, right? You're around. Anyway, sorry. But just imagine Jonathan having to go through that, who we love as our brother. There's no different for Jesus because he was fully man. Even in this sinful body, it blows me away. Just think of what it's going to be like when we're with him and casting our crowns. So, anyway, so and this is love. Not that I don't have, this is where God sets me free, hopefully sets you free. When I don't feel very loving, or am I really saved? Am I really, you know, just remember, yes, you're saved, but we don't have any love. Any love that we have, he gives it to us. Our love comes from him. That's why we just stick with him. So, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation again. Yes, he paid the penalty, legally set us free, but this is the satisfaction, the appeasement of God's wrath, the righteous indignation, that wrath that sin deserves and that sinners deserve. He took that on. So as your child, you may mess up here or blow it there. He's not condemning you. We can grieve him, and he loves us, and he'll discipline us, and his spankings don't feel good, but he isn't coming from the angle of condemnation with us. So, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. So did I even give you any of these? Yeah, well, you knew that number six, the word is first, right? Because he first loved me. Number seven, God's love for me, in me, God's love in me, and God's love through me empowers me to love others. So the word is empowers. His love, his Holy Spirit, what's that verse again? The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Bless you. Yeah, Romans 5:5. Bingo. For the love, and hope doesn't disappoint, for the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's the experiential part of knowing the Lord. You know, again, we all go through dry times for sure within a day. Right? I mean, plenty of dry times, but another one for you, Acts 3:9. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's what the Lord wants for us. That's the part of that verse. Peter's preaching after the Lord used him to heal the lame man. And Acts, did I say 3:9? 3:19. I felt a little heresy there. Acts 3:19. Someone check me on that if you want to. Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted so that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing, may come, I got the nod, may come from the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. That's what I've been a Christian for many years, and I'm just starting to taste and experience. I mean, I have, don't get me wrong, I have, but it's there for the taking. I know for me personally, if I take the time and sing to him and sing with him or write out a thankfulness, no, I don't have to always write it out, but just thanksgiving and praise and just muse with him, and I don't know. And of course, spend time in his word, but it's not, we know it's not always just an immediate, I'm going to read the word and just get the goosebumps. And it's not, and I also know it's not always looking for the goosebumps, but he means something about times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, you know? And so that's what he wants for us, even in our hardest times. So, and then number eight, going along with verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us sacrificially, right? If he loved us that way, we ought to also love one another that way, sacrificially. So number eight, we're just going back to chapter 3:16, quoting that verse. By this we know love, because he has laid down his life for us, and we, the word is we, also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So, that's where we leave off. Next time, we'll pick up with more comments on love, and then maybe we'll get into chapter 5 some, and we'll finish the book hopefully in the next, I'd say, 2 to 3 weeks, Lord willing. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us. And thank you that all of our sins were buried with you, and they're just cast away now as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness. And Lord, thank you for rising from the dead, conquering death for us. Thank you that because you live and we will live, even if we die, it's just really like falling asleep. Thank you for ascending into heaven and giving us the Holy Spirit. And so we have all we need in you, Lord. Help us to realize that. In Jesus' name, amen.